Welcome back for another edition of State of the Franchise Podcast.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're back again, baby. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year. Yeah, we start the pod today with heavy hearts. Prayers out to DeMar Hamlin and the entire Bills Mafia.
DeMar Hamlin and his family. Yeah, 100%, man.
100%, yeah.
So, like,
tragedy on Monday night.
Yeah, no. I mean, from the latest reports, you know, I'm pretty sure as most of you guys are well aware, but DeMar Hamlin suffered a cardiac arrest on the field in the Monday Night Football game. And from there, you know, they had to administer CPR to him. And, you know, just like kind of reflecting on that, by the way, like there's really, really promising reports on his health from a lot of sources, really promising reports. So we're going to keep praying, hopefully. DeMar's okay, but like, I mean, reflecting on that, guys, like, straight up, like, that's one of the scariest things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. It's just, I did not, like, I felt like myself, and I felt like a lot of America couldn't even go to sleep that night because they're like, they want to make sure this guy's okay. They really want to make sure this guy's okay.
Yeah, I kept tricking Twitter like every hour, yep. Like 2, 3 a.m., 4 a.m. Yo, give me something good. Give me something good.
Yeah, you know. I only was thinking the worst, man. I really was just thinking the worst, just with a lot of shit that's been going on in, like, 2020, like, just ever since COVID hit, man. Like, all the motherfuckers we lost over senseless stuff, you know. And I would not have been surprised if, like, this guy, this man, DeMar Hamlin, kind of succumbed to what was going on with him. But good thing we're hearing great reports. Big shout outs to like the Cincinnati Bengals, the NFL,
as well. Medical team there.
The medical team, exactly. You know.
Very quickly able to administer CPR.
Bengals too, Houdat Nation, I should say. Big shout out to them, you know. And I thought it was really cool. I know you guys probably saw this on Twitter, but like, I thought it was really cool, man. Like his DeMar Hamlin's charitable foundation is like a toy drive for kids. You know,
The Chasing M's Foundation.
Chasing M's Foundation, man. The goal was $2,000, man. It's garnered over $5.5 million in 2 days.
Amazing.
It just goes to show you what humanity
brings everybody together. Like,
you know what really matters in life and stuff like that.
We really are praying that he's gonna pull through.
All we can do right now is pray that he does pull through. And what's beautiful about this moment, I know it's a pretty tragic moment, but the entire sports world is coming together. And, you know, collectively praying. And, you know, it goes to show you this is more than just a game. You know, these are people's lives. You know, these players throw their lives on the table. And we can never imagine, you know, what they go through. And, you know, things like this happen. It's a freak accident. But,
This situation, like, the show doesn't go on. Normally, like, you know, a player goes down. They put a thumbs up. They say they're okay. And the game keeps continuing. But this was such a tragic situation. The game could not be continued, especially after, imagine just being one of the players on there and seeing, like, you know, basically your brother collapse,
you know,
on the field.
Yeah, like,
it's terrible.
You know, it's one thing to collapse on the field, but watching them, like, some of these players literally saw them administer CPR to him, so they don't know what's going on. Like, for all they know, this man's dead. Like, what was going through their heads, probably this man's dead.
Well, he was, like,
he was dead.
Twice, so, you know, I hope he pulls through and just kind of, you know, And tells us, you know, what was experienced in that moment, and like if he, you know, felt everyone's prayers, which I'm sure he did, you know.
And I wanted to say too, like to harp on the point about just like, you know, nothing matters but the game. You know, the game's not the point or whatever.
The game is important. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we're so just accustomed to it in football. I saw a lot of dialogue about this. Just like Ryan Clark talking about it, Booger McFarland talking about it on ESPN and stuff. I think, like, we're all kind of just, like, become numb to the fact that, like, injuries are part of the game, you know. And, like, we hear the cliches, like, I'll die for this, you know, I'll die for this team. Like, I'm going to war, we're going to battle out there. But, you know, you're never really thinking about, like, this can really end your life. This game can end your life.
Especially the players, you know.
Yeah, they're out there doing, they're not.
They're doing the job that they're so fortunate and love that job.
And the thing is, like, we've seen, you know, like, usually everyone's just accustomed to, like, if a stretcher comes down, even if the ambulance comes out, you know, the player gives a thumbs up or something like that. And then when you didn't see that out of the players out of DeMar, that's when the concern really hit, you know. And I really think, like, the look on Josh Allen's face, when I saw, like, the look on his face, like, he looked traumatized, like, very much so traumatized. So, good for all the players, good for the NFL, like, not continuing that game and just, like, only caring about DeMar Hamlin's health. And I really hope, like, as we mentioned, he gets better and is able to, like, make a full recovery. And, like, just, I really want him to be able to wake up and just see, like, how everyone came to his side and supported him and came to rallied behind him. And I really want him to be able to, like, see all, like, his Toy Drive Foundation, the Chasing M's Foundation, and just, like, see how well that's doing now, you know. I think, like, that would mean a lot to him. So
yeah, man, absolutely. As his uncle said, you know, we hope he pulls through so we can see how loved he is by the whole sports community in the world.
And also, you know, big prayers up for T. Higgins. You know, he was involved in the collision.
Yeah.
And, you know, not a lot of players are saying, like, you could blame him in a way, just Bart Scott specifically. But to be honest, in that situation, you know, like, I don't, like, this is interesting. This is something I was thinking about in the moment was, because, I mean, I thought the worst, man. I thought, like, we weren't going to get good news out of it because, like, all you guys were watching the Monday night broadcast. I mean, I saw Adam Schefter, you know, and I can only think, like, Adam Schefter is just, like, putting the smug look on his face about DeMar Hamlin's health and stuff like that. I'm just like, bro, in the back of my mind, I'm like, yo, Adam, I know how you really get down. Like, you're just waiting to find out, like, you're just waiting to tweet out that this guy is dead. Like, straight up. The first situation I thought of was the Dwayne Haskins thing, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, you're just waiting to tweet. Like, you're waiting to be the first guy to break the news. So, some of these guys, I mean, Adam Schefter.
Skip Bayless. Some of these guys were just like, enemy number one, but yeah. Adam Schefter was like.
I think Adam Schefter definitely, like, he learned from that experience with, like, the whole Dwayne Haskins tweet and how he handled breaking the news of his death. But, you know, I don't see him as that guy, kind of guy, to be honest.
It's like you're just basically an NFL updater.
Yeah, no, 100%. You know,
some things you don't need to, like, you know, be first on.
Yeah.
Looking
like
at
if Skip Bayless tweeted his tweet, like, today, which is Wednesday.
Yeah.
I don't think he would have caused as much flack because he tweeted at the wrong moment, basically.
100%.
Yeah. So, speaking of tweets, all right, I sent a tweet out, probably went unnoticed, but, you know, people like, you know, Skip Bayless, and there was, like, criticism about the NFL for taking too long to postpone the game. It goes to kind of show you what the greed of, like, corporate American culture.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, someone passes away, people experience it in the workforce. I have experiences in my old job where someone passed away, but, you know, this report is due, so who's going to step up to the plate?
Mm-hmm.
That's like the wrong type of next man up mentality.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, that's just the thing. People are just so accustomed. And, like, yes, we understand that this game has big magnitude. You know, it's implication for the playoff picture.
Yeah, number one seed as well.
Who gives a fuck about any of that?
No. Then,
like,
no.
Honestly.
The players don't give a fuck either. And the thing is, too, it's just like, you know, like, we're used to it. We're used to it seeing, like,
big hits,
like
injuries,
like concussions. Like, I mean, we've seen it multiple times this year with Tua, you know.
During the Eagles game.
Yeah, Josh Sweat.
He was down for a while.
He was paralyzed.
When he got to the hospital, he said he has feeling in his extremities, which we were really positive to hear.
And the thing is, with all that, it's just, you know, it's a difference. Once you hear the word CPR, you never heard of that.
That's life.
I don't know
death.
If you guys know this, but, like, I've been watching, like, a lot of. There's actually one player who did die on the field one time.
Yeah, like at 49ers, right, or something.
Lions. He played for the Lions back in, I believe, the
early 2000s or something.
No. 30s. This is like 30s, bro. Like the 30s. This is back in the day, man.
He died from cardiac arrest.
Cardiac arrest, but I mean, he died at 28. But you know how the motherfuckers were living back in the day, you know?
Oh, yeah, like
smoking,
cigars,
like, yeah, cigars, all that shit. And he did not, you know, he was not like up to today's athletes.
Yeah.
And this one is just like super freak incident. And all the freaking COVID vaxxers, the anti vaxxers are saying, oh, this is linked to the COVID vaccine.
Why? Because
I swear,
if you don't have the information, shut the fuck up.
Shut the hell up.
Like, oh, shut the fuck
like,
up.
There's legit doctors who are telling you, like, my friend who was a firefighter told me exactly what he thinks it is, which was just a direct contact, direct trauma to the chest area in the middle of the heart rhythmic beat. That kind of just sends the heart into flux. Like, it just kind of disturbs.
Imagine running at full speed as T. Higgins was.
And let's be real, that makes the most sense. That makes the most sense.
It does.
Yeah. You know, and on top of that, you know, his head slammed the ground hard. So he's probably dealing with a little bit of, like, wooziness, concussion, you know. So it's just like, y'all don't know what the fuck y'all be talking about.
Yeah.
The one thing I thought that was really odd was that they said that the refs said that there was 5 minutes for them to, you know, warm up and get ready. And collectively, you know, the players and both Sean McDermott and Zach Taylor just agreed not to play because of how dire the situation is.
So go ahead.
I don't know why they even bothered to tell the players that.
I think it's been kind of debunked by Troy Vincent, who is the head of the players' union, I believe.
Yeah,
him and he Roger said there was no, there was never like a thought of them continuing the game.
Right.
He was like, I don't know where that came from. It could be the NFL trying to save face, which I believe is the NFL trying to save face.
Absolutely.
Like, because they're just like, okay, this guy's he's off the field. Let's continue playing the game. But Zach Taylor kind of went into depth and talked about, like, his little conversation with he had a conversation about resuming play with Sean McDermott. Sean McDermott straight up told him, like, I can't coach. Like, I got to go be with him right now. Like, I really want to be with DeMar and just make sure, like, he's okay and his family and stuff like that, they're okay. And, like, you kind of, like, tell that's what they were talking about on the field, if, like, you're just, like, lip reading or whatever. But, yeah, no, it's definitely, like, it's a hard thing to fathom, man. Like, you never expect that kind of that to happen, you know. But, like, and everyone talks about it in football, but that can happen in any sport, you know. That can happen in any sport.
Any sport. The player collapse for basketball.
Yeah. You have players collapsing in basketball, you know. Hockey, you know. It can happen in any sport. Soccer, we saw with
Christian Eriksen.
Eriksen last year, you know.
He was able to get up and continue playing, which is what, you know, I'm hoping DeMar Hamlin will be able to do.
But not at the time, at the game. But he was
he made a full recovery.
This is probably a bad example, but boxing, there was a boxer, MGM here in Maryland, who died. You know, he was taking a lot of blows to the head, and they didn't cancel the fight. And then next thing you know, he's thrown up, gets rushed to the hospital, pronounced dead. I respect what these athletes do every day.
I feel like we presented on this podcast, like, where we really respect what they do.
Yeah.
We really do.
We'll critique bad play. Criticize. As fans, we have every right to do that.
I'll shit on you sometimes for bad play. Like, for real, we'll shit on you for bad play.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, if we're not doing it, we damn sure know your coaches are doing it.
Literally.
In study, but
it means nothing from us.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because obviously you're out there and having the time of your life doing the job that you love to do so much. And basically, we're watching for, you know, our
entertainment. I'm watching because you're the best at what you do. Yeah. I can't do what you do.
I love the game.
I'd love to, I'd love to learn and because like, you to teach you, me how you do what you do. But I know at some point, like, you're just you. I'm just better than you.
Yeah. No doubt. Like, I just feel like, you know, in times of, like, in dire situations like this, everyone wants to criticize, point fingers. This is what you should have done. This is what you should have done. But there's a lot of emotions running in the field, and we are human beings.
Yeah.
We, you know, lose rationality because our innate instinct is to go off of our emotions. And when something like a near-death experience happens like this, you know,
you want to point the finger at
something. I thought it was really interesting because, like, I mean, most of the reception I got from a lot of people were like, oh my God, worried about this guy's health. But there were some people who were just like, kind of like, oh, we don't care, whatever, like that. Like, oh no, like, it is what it is. Like, no, bro, like, first of all, if you weren't watching, that's one thing. But, like, for you who was watching, like, you could have just witnessed someone die on live TV.
It's horrific.
You don't understand. Yeah, you don't understand the ramifications of that, you know? You really don't understand, like, you just don't value life or death. And
Of us who experienced a loss.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, that's just, like, you know, that's something very, very difficult.
Yeah, no, 100%. And it's crazy, too, to, like, I mean, one of my friends, my boy, shout out Robert, said it best. It's just like, dude, like, you're over here trying to clown motherfuckers for having a human emotion to, like, an event, you know? Or whatever, you know? It's just like, niggas are trying to be human for 1 second. You think that's soft or something like that? Ain't nothing soft about it, bro. It's just like,
I think it's soft to be, don't react.
Yeah. I was like, who are you trying to impress, bro? Like, you're not that hard. You're congratulations. Like, you don't hurt you. Yeah, good for you. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
You have emotions just like everyone else. It's okay to display them.
And they might not see it, but someone does care about you. And, you know what I'm saying? That one person, when they're gone, like, you know, like, what are you going to do?
But, I think...
God forbid that, you know?
I think this is really, you know, kind of, we're going to have to pivot, talk more about... the playoff picture and what happened in week 17, but I loved seeing how the entire sports world kind of like came together. Like, I mean, hearing on sports radio, they're just constantly giving us updates on DeMar Hamlin's health.
And CNN, stuff like every that. Major yeah. sports network or not sports network, but every news channel,
yep.
NBC,
and just giving us updates. You know, and just we all collectively decided no. You know, yeah. This is more important. So I thought that was really good. Is it? 100%. You know, but
let's pivot. Yeah. Let's get into week 17 action.
Yeah. We'll start, you know, we'll start with the AFC, man. We had quite an interesting, let's start with this. I mean, dude, the Dolphins, Mo, you called it, Mohamed, you definitely called it with the Dolphins. They took another L. Tua wasn't playing, obviously. Concussion protocol. I don't think he'll be playing again this week.
Skylar Thompson. Teddy Bridgewater broke his finger.
Oh, well, Teddy got hurt.
On an interception.
But they couldn't get it done in New England, and their fall from grace is crazy. I think they were 8-3.
Was that a 5-game losing streak right now?
I think it's, yeah. I think
they're 8-8 right now.
Yeah, I think they were 8-3 at one point.
Yeah, I mean, look.
A lot of their games were, like, kind of close, like one-score games.
But their offense was very explosive. And we mentioned that they got the pieces on defense. They trade for a Bradley Chubb. You have, like, good secondary pieces in Javon Holland. You have Javon Holland and Xavier Howard. You have good edge rushers, Jalen Phillips coming in, Christian Wilkins. I just, you know, it all, like, the stars seemed to align.
I think that
I don't know, man.
I think that they just need one more piece on offense, like a real solid bell cow running back. And it's like,
I don't think so, man.
I think
man.
You were talking about it two episodes ago.
We were, yeah, we Josh definitely Jacobs. Were.
You got a rookie head coach. It's a learning experience.
It is a learning experience.
Very much true. You know, it's a long NFL season.
It's
you
a
know?
Long season, yeah. Man.
You know, it's a very long NFL season.
We've seen, how many 8-3 teams have we seen throughout our lifetime playing football or watching football collapse? Cowboys. Oh, wait. That's my first thing I think of. 8-3. 9-7, no playoffs.
And it's interesting. I feel like a lot of teams are overthinking this whole, now that we added one extra game to the regular season, I think a lot of teams are over kind of thinking, like, how you should kind of prepare, who should play, who shouldn't play, and how you should prepare. We'll get into that a little bit later with my Commanders because I feel as though our coach really fumbled the bag when it comes to that. But, yeah, no, I think... I mean, I'm just really shocked at the fall from grace this Dolphins team had. And it's been the last 3 years. You know, they've been going on tears late in the season. They missed the game. They'll miss the playoffs again by one game. They still have a chance. I still believe they have a chance to make the playoffs.
They need the Patriots. This is the Patriots are in a...
The Patriots. Are they at that wild card spot now?
I believe so. Yeah. They need the Patriots. Wow. Yeah.
But the Patriots are playing the Bills. Oh, man, the Jets, too. Like,
now, Jets are eliminated.
I know. Yeah, it sucks to suck. I mean,
well, remember, we talked about it, like, midway through the season. We said one of these New York teams isn't a real New York team. You know, sadly, it was the Jets. I thought it was the Giants.
Well, the real Slim Shady, please stand up.
No, the Giants, unlike the Jets, the Giants put up points.
Yeah, no,
especially
no.
with, like, you know...
Quarterback, dude. No. Yeah. The thing Slayton. Is, the quarterback, bro. It's quarterback. Daniel Jones compared to Zach Wilson and Mike White. There, Mike White goes down, and you know Even Mike White comes back in these last two games, I believe, and they still take L's.
Yeah.
So
it's he was never that good to begin with.
Yeah, I know.
He was just slightly better than Zach Wilson.
Yep.
Like you said earlier in the season, bro, they need to trade for Lamar Jackson, or they need to sign Lamar Jackson if the Ravens don't drop the bag on him.
Speaking of Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, they had the Sunday night cap, and they took an L to the lowly Steelers. And it's funny because the Steelers now have a shot for the playoffs.
Yeah, it's not about how you start, it's about how you finish.
Guy, Mike Tomlin, is the cream of the crop when it comes to NFL coaching.
Shout out to Mike Tomlin.
Hasn't had a losing record in his career.
He won the Super Bowl in his second year, he's still with the team. He hasn't been fired.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
has he ever been on the hot seat? That organization never really
fires.
They've only had three head coaches.
They've had the longest tenured head coaches.
Oh yeah, stability.
Yeah, look, they know how to do it. Like that's how you do it. You know. But it's a standard. Yo, like he said, the standard is the standard in Pittsburgh. The standard is the standard. They have a standard there. You either get in or get out. And they'll make it work with anybody. Remember they're freaking putting out Duck Hodges a couple years ago? Like, they were trotting out Duck Hodges, Mason Rudolph, and still, like, vying for playoff spots, you know?
Rudolph, the backup, really quarterback. Feel like,
Steelers, you know, they might have a shot at the playoffs, but it all depends on how the Ravens play. They get the Bengals at home.
Yeah.
The Bengals. They got to go to Cincinnati.
Man, I don't even know how.
We don't know how that's going to transpire.
Yeah, man. I don't even know the emotional state of the Bengals right now. Yeah,
so NFL says that Bengals will be all right. It's really the Bills that are the issue. Because you got to, you know, at some point.
The Bills will be hungry. That's what I feel like. I feel like something like this, you play.
Super Bowl.
A lot of people are. Just throw a small unit down on it, Omar. You know, it doesn't hurt.
There goes my Eagles future. No, but in all seriousness.
It's called hedging.
It is called hedging.
But yeah, the NFL did say the Week 18 schedule does stay intact.
Whatever. Yeah, you give both teams a tie.
No contest.
Whatever you need to do.
I don't even know.
But the thing is that the number one seed's still in play. Chiefs are on a roll. Yeah, Chiefs are on a roll. I believe they beat last week.
Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
Made a game.
Hey, the Danger, which gave them a little run for their money after they fired their head coach. You know,
he did. It's one of those classic, you know, we just fired our head coach.
We just fired our head coach, get right game.
Yeah.
And, man, it happens to every single team, man. Yeah. I remember when the Eagles fired Chip Kelly, we went to New York. Yeah.
Russell Wilson looked like, you know, like normal Russell Wilson. And you saw him after the game. He was real emotional.
He had two rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, he looked like the old Russell Wilson.
He looks fat when he runs.
I mean, he looks fast.
He's fat, bro.
He's not fat. Yo, he is
fat. Fat guys can be fast. If you just look at Jason Kelsey, he's not that fat, but he's fast.
Faster than Russell Wilson, I'll tell you that.
Faster than Russell Wilson. He's always getting those penalties.
For sure.
I feel like we've been giving a lot of slack to Russell Wilson. I think they might have something in the next season when they get all their players healthy.
Oh, they're going
to
be good next year.
They got draft capital as well from Bradley Chubb.
So, yeah, the Dolphins?
No, the Broncos.
Well, I mean, it really just depends on who they get. I know we talked about it before we started recording, who they get at head coach. If it's John Harbaugh, I feel like they can be very, very pretty much a nice, gritty team. Kind of like how the Raiders are this year.
And they benched their quarterback.
And they gave the 49ers a run for their money. Their offense was clicking.
I don't know what it is with these, like, you know, NFL teams struggling against, like, the, you know, unheard of quarterbacks. You know?
Yeah, I don't know. Dude, I feel like it's not really they're struggling against them. It's just that when you get the backup in there, he has nothing to lose.
He's going
to
sling that bitch.
Yeah, he's going to sling that
bitch. It's kind of like an audition tape.
Yeah, bro, it's funny because you was talking about Davante Adams on the podcast last week.
How he had
strong hands.
He has the strongest hands.
He made
in the
two of the most ridiculous catches I've ever seen in a game, you know?
He does them forearm curls, bro.
He urged you. He's like, yeah, I'm going to prove Mo right.
He had his one touchdown was crazy.
Just wow, bro, he just knows when to catch the ball and when to place it. Like, it just
it goes back to, like, dude, Davante Adams. Like, I could critique you maybe, but, like, I know you're a dog.
I could never.
I take that back. I can never critique you, bro. You're just too good at what you.
He's perfect.
You amazing.
He's perfect.
Like, literally, and you know what's the best thing about this guy, Davante Adams? He used to suck. He was in the doghouse. Packers fans hated him.
Rookie year.
Yeah, no, not even his rookie year. His
Everybody
first like two
gets
or three
a weird
years.
Start when
Packers fans
start.
Hated him, bro. He used to drop everything.
And look at him now.
Look at him now.
Yeah, they just worked at it. They bullied him into greatness.
Another 1,000-yard season, too. Easily. And Darren Waller's also back. Shout out
to him. Oh, Darren Waller had a game, too. Yeah. You know, everyone got involved.
It's funny because I don't know how they proceed with Derek Carr, because Derek Carr is supposed to be... didn't they sign up to an extended deal?
They did, but, you know, he's either going to get cut or traded, but he has no trade clause. I believe he will get traded, and I think it's really going to be between, like, probably... Because David Carr went on NFL Network and gave a tirade about, like... I love the dynamic they have, because David Carr is literally, like, Derek Carr's, like, publicist... You know,
is that his brother?
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't tell if I. He's not that old, but I was like, it's pretty young dad.
Could you imagine? But no, so he said he wants an opportunity where it's a stable ownership, coach relationship. You know, so a lot of places are in play. You know, I could see, you know, Carolina could be an option for him.
I could see the Commanders.
Yeah. We do not know who our owner is. Yeah. We are gonna get sold. We do not know who our owner is.
I feel like Commanders are on that list. Probably.
We are definitely on that list.
Carson Wentz to the Raiders.
I feel like he'd be the type of guy to be like
wanting to get benched or to them.
I 100% believe Derek Carr is the type of guy to be like, God told me to go to the Commanders. You know, type shit. You know, God told me.
The best way to spread God's message is here in the nation's capital.
That's the kind of person he is.
And I just wanted to give a quick spot on the 49ers defense when they went into overtime. Nick Bosa, basically, he didn't get the sack, but put the QB pressure on.
Defense player of the year.
Yeah, he put the QB pressure on Jared Stidham, forced him to throw the interception, and that puts him in field goal range to win the game.
All right, yep. So how many sacks does Nick Bosa have in the year?
I think 16.
So does Hassan Reddick.
And
Hassan Reddick has 5 forced fumbles.
Our whole defensive line is amazing.
Yeah, like
doing something
like,
very historic.
It's because Nick Bosa is just a more household name.
They do have volume at their defensive line, though. They got rotation and like people.
I think he's more so like you guys have more of a more formidable defensive line.
I
think their defense as a whole is stronger, but. When it comes to D-line, I think you guys have the strongest
D-line. Well, I think they just have better scheme because their coach is smart versus our – I don't know.
Man. Jonathan Gannon.
Yeah. Well, I just feel like it's more so like – I think people realize Nick Bosa is just a game wrecker. You know, like put him anywhere and ask him to make a play, he's going to make a play. Whereas Hassan Reddick, like, you know, is more
he's
so
– He's Mr. Big Stuff. He's Mr. Big Stuff.
All right. Let me tell you this. Does Nick Bosa drop back into coverage?
No.
Exactly.
Michael Parsons does.
My point.
Okay, but how many picks does Hassan Reddick have?
Doesn't matter.
Why are we talking about dropping back in the coverage then?
Because Hassan Reddick.
How are you going to bring that up?
Because Hassan Reddick has to do way more than Nick Bosa. All Nick Bosa has to do is rush the passer. Hassan Reddick got
that's hard, bro.
Huh?
That's hard. He takes.
Man, I've seen Hassan Reddick line up against a slot receiver, bro.
Did he cover the slot receiver?
He covered this flat.
Okay.
He covered his own. Like, I mean, yeah, the receiver probably got the ball. Off the line yes, scrimmage. But he ain't going nowhere.
Hassan Reddick probably got cooked off the line of scrimmage.
Huh? I'm not
trying to hate on Hassan Reddick. Big shout out to him. I think he's like, this is his third straight season, or like fourth straight season with 10 plus sacks. Oh, bro, he surprised me. You know?
Yeah.
No, like, yo, this guy is a
joke. He's going in.
He had a great season last year with the Cardinals.
I think he was with the...
He was with the Panthers. Yeah.
Panthers, sorry.
Yeah, he had 2 sacks against Jalen Hurts. I remember.
I think it was 2 seasons ago.
He was number 43 last year.
But yeah, I think in the AFC, I think.
We were on the Raiders and 49ers.
Yeah, no, but it goes back to like the Monday night game. It was the importance was the number one seed. So right now, I believe it's Kansas City sitting atop the number one seed. Bills. But they're tied with the Bills because the Bills have the tiebreaker over them.
Yeah.
Cincinnati
has a win over the Chiefs.
And Cincinnati has a win over the Chiefs. So, number one seed is still in play for a lot of these teams. And I think for the top three and, like, our favorites in the AFC, the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Bengals, I think that's very important to them. You know, obviously the Bills don't want to go and play in Arrowhead. obviously the Chiefs know like how well they can play in Arrowhead.
Have the Chiefs ever played a road playoff game?
In the Patrick Mahomes era, no.
Patrick Mahomes though.
No, yeah, no, nah, no. Nah. Last road playoff game they had was like in 2015 for real.
That was the Alex Smith led Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Alex.
Yeah, literally. Zero, Alex.
Yeah, I'm so. Yeah, it's,
2018, they didn't. 2018, they had number one seed.
Yeah, you want to see that number one seed for sure.
2019, they had the number one
seed.
Well,
I consider
2020, they had the number one seed. 2021, they had the number
one
seed.
Well, yeah, well, the Super Bowl, Super Bowl. The playoffs is a different beast.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah, survive the playoffs to get to the Super Bowl.
But yeah, I mean, like.
Which is why it's important for the Eagles to get that number one seed, too.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, do we want to switch to the NFC right now?
Hold on. I just wanted to say one more thing before we switch up. I think it's just interesting. I think given the heavy hearts that, like, the Bills are playing with, Omar, you talked about them being a Super Bowl contender. I think this could, like, help them and hurt them, especially also it could help and hurt the Bengals. Whereas a team like the Chiefs, already kind of been there, done that, don't have any kind of, like, extracurriculars going on, you know. I think this helps kind of vault them into that, all right, guys, let's take advantage of this, you know.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you know, sadly, the show must go on, and I think that's what, you know.
They're not thinking that, but they're thinking that.
I know. Yeah, well, right. Yeah, they're not thinking that, but they're kind of thinking that.
They're just thinking like, yo, let's let guys, you know, we love you. We love each other. You know what I'm saying? We're going to fight for each other.
There's an opportunity. There's a huge opportunity for them right now, and I think they're gonna need to take.
They're gonna ride for tomorrow. That's the new mantra now.
Either way, man, I still like my Chargers in there. So
I just
don't forget about the Chargers.
Don't forget
Austin Eckler's on the fucking tear.
Jaguars are playing for all the marbles.
Jaguars could be in the playoffs.
First time since 2017. And you know when the Jaguars make the playoffs, what they do.
In 2017.
It makes some noise.
I'm letting you know right now.
You know what's crazy? They have a better team this year. They have a better team in 2017 than they did. No, they have a better team now than they did in 2017.
Well, imagine Blake Bortles in the Super Bowl. Foles versus
We were really imagining that. We were really.
I was praying for that.
I thought it would have been a great Super Bowl too. This is exactly what I want. Like, I think we were just all sick of Brady at that time. But whatever. Omar, what were you about to say, bro?
I was gonna say it's definitely gonna be. I got the Jaguars advancing. They're gonna have the Chargers visit them in the first round of the playoffs.
You remember the last time they played each other when they played each other in 2017? That game, Chargers.
They played each other earlier in the season too, and the Jaguars won. In week 3.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, yeah, that's when we were like,
they stopped the shit out. The Chargers it was a very depleted Chargers. That was like the start of their injuries.
Mm-hmm. The Chargers are a different team.
They're a different team now. Yeah, they got most of their people back.
Austin Eckler broke off a 72-yard touchdown. I've never seen him do that.
Austin Eckler is...
He said he's doing it for his fantasy owners.
Thank you. Shout out
to Austin
Eckler.
Thank you.
He had a fantasy belt, too. He drafted himself in fantasy, so...
You helped me win my money back in fantasy, so...
Shout out to Austin Eckler. You're a phenomenal athlete in the NFL. Like, not even just, like, the fantasy aspect that people are always talking about. The stats. It's just, like, the way you are an incredible weapon for that Chargers offense.
One of the best ball heads of all time.
Yeah, even when they were depleted on the receiver's corpse... You were literally the old reliable target that Justin Herbert could always get it to because this guy, just like Devontae Adams, like I mentioned, is one of a kind.
Mm-hmm. One of a kind, for sure.
But yeah, now let's move on to NFC. I want to get this off my chest first. I mean, sadly, my Commanders, my Washington Commanders, have been eliminated from the playoffs due to really poor personnel decisions, poor coaching, Ron Rivera, I want to fight you, bro.
There's like, no passion.
He wouldn't know that you wanted to fight.
It's man, I knew leaving the stadium, I believe it was December 18th, leaving the stadium, I just had a gut feeling that loss to the Giants was that broke our season. Just had a gut feeling, and it came to fruition. Carson Wentz gets the start, proceeds to throw a pick on the second throw of the game. Then proceeds to throw two more interceptions. And this man just looks like, oh, well, you know. Oh, man, I can't believe, like, it got picked off.
Nice spike, though.
And it pisses me off, too, because we had a couple players injured. I don't give a fuck if you're injured, bro. Like, play through the damn game, bro. You know damn well this is a big-ass game. You gotta play. You gotta play, bro.
Who's the player?
Cam Curl and Benjamin St. Juice. You didn't play last week when we needed you, and we gave up big plays. You didn't play this week, and we gave up big plays. Like, put two and two together, man. Like, take the damn shot. You know, I'm sorry. We started this podcast talking about.
It's a different tone now.
But I just, like, come on now.
This is where the critique comes.
I just feel like they didn't want it. They just didn't want it enough, and it just goes to the coaching. Like, I understand, like, how it is, like, oh, like, protect the players, but the fact that this motherfucker Ron Rivera didn't know we could be eliminated if we lost and if, like, a couple other teams won, which that so happened, and it's just the way those other teams won, you know. The Lions destroyed the Bears. The Packers, in a big game, destroyed their division rival in the Vikings, you know. 40 points, like, shut them out, you know. And it's just like they came to play, whereas your team laid dog shit. It pissed me off thinking about it, you know. And now it pissed me off because, like, that's a fireable offense in my opinion. You know, it's three straight seasons, you know, where you don't have good starts. You have really poor. His clock management is just poor, piss poor, and something needs to happen. I know we're gonna get a new ownership coming sometime this year, but I hope either Ron Rivera steps down or he fires the offensive coordinator, because the Browns players are saying their offensive schemes are way too easy to, like, they're easy, and they knew, you know, Wentz has a very slow delivery, so it's easy to break on routes. And
damn,
it's really upsetting when the other teams know. Like, I feel like the other teams are more prepared than we are every day, every week, you know. And it's funny because, like, you know, the decision to go to Wentz after Heineke didn't even play bad against Detroit, you know. Not Detroit, against San Fran. Heineke didn't even play bad. He actually had one of the better games, you know.
But number one defense in the league too.
Yeah, number one defense in the league, and offensive line sucks. And this was the same issues I saw at the beginning of the season in August, and I was like, dude, I'm really worried about our offensive line. These motherfuckers can't protect nobody. And the issue was, like, not the pass protection. Like, everybody can have issues pass protecting. We couldn't run block. I was like, dude, our running backs are getting hit in the backfield. And I noticed that the very first game, bro. Like, the Panthers' second stringer guys were getting penetration. I'm just like, okay, we can't run block. We can't even make... Right? Huh?
Jaguars or Panthers?
Panthers. We played the Panthers. Like, I'm talking about preseason, bro.
Oh, preseason. Oh.
Like, I saw these issues. Cornerback. I saw a glaring issue need at cornerback. I'm just like, okay, this dude, St. Juice, he can play. Oh, no doubt he can play. But behind him, we have nobody. And he's clearly always getting fucking hurt. He was hurt all last year with a concussion. And this year, he missed, like, maybe 4 or 5 games. And Kendall Fuller, you're not getting any older. I mean, getting any younger.
Damn.
So, man, I've really had it up to here with this team. So, I'm really just ready for them to jump ship. We talked about Derek Carr and shit, but I don't think you can solve this with Derek Carr. I think you just really need to... Sam Howell's getting the start. This is the only right thing he did. And he was really thinking about going to Taylor Heineke. Like, why would you go back to Taylor Heineke, bro? Like, you really fucked up. You done fucked up, bro.
Yeah, man, I totally hear you in that frustration, because, like, every Commanders fan in Dayton, and I saw the reporter, your sideline reporter, you know, just absolutely lose it. Like, yo, they need to dismantle everything from the ground. It starts from the top.
Bro, and I'd be listening to my man JP all the time. That was a sideline reporter. He blew up on him. He called this, man. Like, they called this from the get-go. They said, like... And that's why it's frustrating to a lot of us, because a lot of us saw the cracks, saw what needed to be done. But, hey, you know, they get paid. I don't. They must know something better than me. But enough of that. Let's talk about Gardner Minshew.
Oh, so, man. Just like you were just mentioning right now, you had problems with run blocking. Without Lane Johnson, we kind of had to abandon the run game this week versus the Saints. And really what it was is we just couldn't get a first down in the first half, which was embarrassing.
Well, I feel like the Saints are a tough team to play.
Oh, like, they are.
They're gritty. I mean, the 49ers, when they played the Saints, you know, it was 13. The final score was 13-0, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's the 49ers.
But that's explosive offense.
The 49ers explosive. Anyways, I mean, the 49ers are
explosive offense. Come on now.
All right, yeah. So I mean, not to the level of the Eagles. That's my opinion. But we look like, you know, a shitty team. I'm sorry. Now to your point that Lane Johnson is out. That's when you should run the ball instead of fucking drop back and have Minshew pass 37 times.
That's the thing though. Like without him, like all the tacklers get in the backfield. That's how good Lane Johnson is.
Yeah. No. What I think happened was the Eagles. Howie told you know, the teams, like, hey, please just air it out because I'm trying to get good trade value for this guy. This man just played himself out of a starting job anywhere. Good luck in the CFL, Gardner. Talking about some, oh, man, I spent my summer in a bus. In a van. Yeah, maybe if you lived in a fucking house, you have enough rest and be able to, you know, have the mental capacity to see the field better. This man was shaking. He just couldn't stand in the pocket at all and just, you know, just god-awful, man. God awful. Like, I just can't take him seriously. I just can't. Like, yo, it's cool you got the Uncle Rico persona, but, like, I don't think you're serious about winning, bro. I just think, you know, I feel like you're just like a YouTuber in the NFL.
I mean,
I definitely think the offense is completely different without Jalen Hurts and Lane Johnson, too.
I find it funny because, like, you guys, I mean, this is your backup quarterback we're talking about. You know, it's not like it's your starting quarterback. This is your backup quarterback.
Well, if you're the Philadelphia Eagles, aka the quarterback factory,
yeah, you're the quarterback. Who's
literally pulling that term? Who
pulling that term?
We won a backup. We won a Super Bowl with a backup.
Yeah,
in my history, as an Eagles fan,
and you guys traded up. Didn't y'all trade up and give Carson Wentz a contract extension? That same quarterback factory Eagles.
Yes, that same quarterback factory.
So the only thing I'm seeing with the quarterback factory is a failed Carson Wentz.
What you're seeing is a quarterback resurgence factory. How about that?
Sure. Okay. I'll take that.
Like, we usually sign reliable veterans. Gardner Minshew is a veteran, yes, but I don't know, man. He has the swag of a rookie, for sure. And it's, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot you can blame on a team.
He was drafted in 2019. He's still young, look, young and too.
Either way, man, I think Jalen Hurts might play this weekend. We're going to get some, hopefully, C.J. Gardner-Johnson back. I mean, we're dealing with some key injuries, but we have everything in front of us. I feel like the Eagles earned this cushion. I mean, the team is 13-3. Like, God damn, that's a fucking amazing
record.
You're
talking about cushion, man. Like, you guys are still fighting for the number one seed.
Which is fucking sucks because the Cowboys, like.
So we have to win. Honestly,
number one seed.
All right, man. Yeah,
that's all you guys got to do.
I'm going to pretend.
There's no other situation right now that we think about other than just winning. I'm not thinking about the Commanders beating Cowboys, and I'm not thinking about us losing this game. I'm thinking about us. This is a must-win game for all the Marbles.
I feel like the only team that could beat the Eagles is themselves because that's what really
is ours happened. To lose.
Yeah, not really. Look, if we end up getting a wild card team, like, bro, like, Shigani, what the fuck?
This is literally, yeah.
You
no,
were 13-1 like a couple weeks ago.
The one seed from the five, the one seed the entire season to five seed. So this is literally every player in that locker room knows.
It's not about how you start. They always say it's not about how you start, it's how you finish.
You talk about exactly. It. And this is.
Hey, but the other Pennsylvania team's making it happen, you know?
Look,
the standard is the standard over there. Y'all might have to start preaching that standard stuff.
As the Jalen Hurts says, we did not play up to our standards, but look. It's not about how you start. Yes, it's about how you finish. But, man, this team started 13-1.
Also,
like,
Like,
this is still a pretty good team, like, at the end of the day. Like, the defense, six sacks again? Mm-hmm. What? Four players with double digits. Like, bro, what am I watching?
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
Historic football.
Yeah.
And we're not worried about the G-men.
I don't know what they'll do. They should just rest their players and.
Oh no! They seem like the type of team that'll play for pride.
I mean, they are kind of mad you guys whooped them in their own home. So
yeah,
I mean,
there's levels to this shit, Lil.
Says there's no resting of the starters, and all I'm gonna say is
like Lions are one of those teams that strike me as a team that will play for pride. So even though
they have nothing to gain,
the thing is literally Lion pride. Isn't there a thing literally Lion pride or one pride or something like that?
Well, if the Lions knock out Green Bay, aren't they in the playoffs?
Speaking of Green Bay, man, yeah, they do. And we are all riding with Detroit because Green Bay, the Detroit Lions deserve this. Green Bay Packers, y'all don't deserve no lick of the playoffs. The fact that you guys are in this position is just pure luck. Literally pure luck. And you guys should send all your playoff bonuses if y'all make it to Ron fucking Rivera. Because if he starts Heinicke, I promise you, y'all might lose. Y'all might still be in that position, but it wouldn't be as that much embarrassing. It's funny, even Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show last week. He saw that when he said he was like go Browns when he saw we were starting Carson Wentz, man. He even knew.
Go Browns.
It's fucking rigged, man. This shit's fucking rigged. It's pissing me off.
Honestly, they got lucky. They got lucky, bro. They're 17 games in the season.
How do you blow out an opponent like that and get lucky?
Let's be real. We watched that Christmas game. Tua threw the game away. Literally.
That was different.
That's lucky.
When they played the Vikings.
Okay, yeah, no. The Vikings are frauds.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, what the hell was
that's
that?
That's not like they fucked up.
To lay an egg that badly, like, yeah, you guys aren't winning one playoff. Yeah, you got literally the Vikings
negative
aren't winning
point
one
differential.
Game. Yeah, they were not for winning 12 a playoff 14. Game. They're not winning a playoff game.
Oh, yeah, they're like, oh,
how do you come out that bad? Like, you guys got blown the fuck out.
They have the most 11 one possession win games. Like,
their point differential.
Why
do
you let
like
the games get that close?
Motherfuckers. Literally, I can't
put a team away for their life.
And like, that's why it blew me, because like, I knew we lost, but I thought the Vikings would take care of business and beat
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I thought.
You trusted in Kirk as a Commander's fan.
He let me down once again. He it's that funny, because Kirk kicked us out the playoffs again.
It's
single-handedly.
Evil poetic.
He threw us out the playoffs again with his interceptions. So I don't want to hear nobody talk about Kirk Cousins. He a bitch. He sucks.
The man's
He's
name
not
is
close.
Kirk.
His name's Kirk. You know?
Their point differential is negative 19.
Our GM would call him Kirk just to piss him off, you know?
Even Detroit
He's stealing
has,
money.
Even Detroit has positive 22.
They do score a lot of points. And now Seattle's in a prime position to also make the playoffs if they, you know, they get their shit together.
So I think the Packers win. The Packers would need to win and the Seattle to lose. And Seattle only just plays as the Rams. So that should Seattle can win and be in,
and they're at home.
Yeah, if Seattle wins, they're in. So it's funny because like everyone's talking about they flex which is why I think Seattle won't win and it's rigged, because they flex the Sunday night game to Lions Packers, and
wow.
It's just like, but if Seattle wins, they're in.
Wow, that's actually very detrimental for the over.
I'm sorry, as much as the Lions. I love the Lions. I ain't trying to see the Lions at 8:30 at night.
The Lions are a perfect 1 p.m. team.
I'm not watching that game. Like I'm just not watching that game.
I won't be. I'll be in Mexico.
Shout out to you. Vacation. Big
shout out to you. Speaking of that, you know who's fighting this weekend?
Who?
It's
Canelo.
Not a Canelo. Gervonta.
Gervonta Davis.
Oh, the woman.
Ryan Garcia. They're fighting in Cap One Arena.
Is that true? I don't know. No, that
I was looking at tickets for it today. I was like, whoa, chill out.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
I might go. Like, I might think about going, bro.
Too bad I'm in Mexico, bro, but fuck it.
Yeah. Bro, we get it. You're going to go to Mexico, damn.
Oh, in case you're listening, no, I'm going to Mexico. Yeah.
Nah, but I hope the Lions, if anything, Gino deserves a shot in the playoffs.
I think they can make a run.
That's a gritty team. I like them. Well-coached team under Pete Carroll. So I really hope they
come in
as see it.
Six or seven seed.
They would be. This is. I think all the seeds are locked in. It's just
six
the last.
Six seed is actually the Giants. Yeah.
Giants. Yeah.
So 7 seed.
And again, with the Commanders, bro, like you guys wasted a lot. You guys are wasting a lot of these guys' prime years, man. Terry McLaurin's not getting any younger. Deron Payne's definitely gonna leave after this year. 11.5 sacks for my man's interior defensive tackle. You know, interior defensive lineman. Shout out to him. Montez Sweat. You guys are just wasting a lot of these guys' prime years just for mediocrity. We just needed 2 wins in our last 5 games. 2 wins in our last 5 games, and we would have been the first division in NFL history to have 4 teams in the playoffs. Like, that would have never been done before, you know? So
I think the Giants are going to find themselves in a positive area, too, because if they right now are locked in the 6th seed, they're going to play the Vikings, right?
I believe so, yeah. Vikings would be 3 seed.
They get that rematch.
And then 49ers would play the Seahawks if the Seahawks win, or we'd get 49ers and Lions, which I would love to see that one.
I'd love to see 49ers and Lions. That'd be fun.
Or it would be 49ers and Packers, which if that comes down to it, I mean, It just seems rigged, in my opinion. But whatever, man. Whatever.
It's funny. Ever since they added that extra playoff spot,
they've been wild. Ever since they added the extra playoff spot, they've been wild. They have been wild. Forgot to mention the GOAT Tom Brady. He seems to have a resurgence, and we should watch out for the Buccaneers. They've won the NFC South. They're going to host a playoff game. They're going to play the Cowboys. Yeah, they're going to play the Cowboys.
He's never lost to the Cowboys.
Yeah, they're going to play the Cowboys.
He's LeVar Ball to the five seed. He's LeVar Ball to the Cowboys. Never lost.
Yeah. So, Buccaneers-Cowboys in January. Get ready for that. And that means Cowboys first round exit again, I believe.
Yep. Yeah. It was a great 12-4 season you had.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, 12-5. I got the Commanders.
I love it.
I'm not going to put up the best of
take that Sam Howell W. Take that Sam Howell W.
I was going to say one more thing about that. That's just drawing a blank. Anyway, shout out to Penn State. Winning the Rose Bowl for the first time since 1995.
Big shout out to Penn State. Penn State end that over.
Got it done. Yeah, Penn State end that over.
The miracle drive. End that over, man.
Oh, man. Shout out to Utah, too, for just being like, yo, you know what? We're here. Let's just score.
Let's talk about, real quick, just get you the college football playoff. We had the TCU upsetting Michigan in a crazy game, and Georgia and Ohio State. That game literally ended as the ball dropped, and it went to New Year with Ohio State missing a kick to win the game.
Georgia?
We were very close to a Michigan-Ohio State final, but now we get TCU-Georgia final. And to be honest, Georgia just seems like a little too much for TCU, but if it's minus 13, if they're getting laying them 13 points, I mean, you gotta take TCU in the spread here. I feel like you got especially them coming off that win they had against Michigan, where they feel like, okay, we could play, like we could beat these motherfuckers' asses.
Think Georgia goes back to back. It's the new era. I don't like Stetson Bennett, but you know. Whatever.
I'm not a Stetson Bennett guy either.
No, neither am I.
He's 25.
I'm more of a CJ Stroud
19-year-olds. I expect you to do better because your brain is more developed than other people, and you have more, like, you've watched, you've just been around the game longer.
I'm actually a Sean Clifford guy.
Damn, fucking 30-year-old Heisman winner over here. Shit.
Yeah, man. But all right, I think we'll leave it there. Mo, me and Omar bid you farewell.
Have fun.
Oh, in case you guys didn't know, I'm going to Mexico.
He's going to Mexico.
Just so you know. He's going on vacation.
And we'll talk to y'all next week or whenever we get a chance.
Hasta luego.